Brother Kelly Henson, not from Fort Worth. What is the exact area, brother, that you live in?
Brandon, Texas.
There you go. It's near Fort Worth. He says Fort Worth, but thereabouts.
It's a Fort Worth address.
Yeah.
Mailing address.
I think technically, was it Lancelot Road you live on?
Lancelot Church. Well, no, that's where I used to live on. I live on Oak Street now.
Oak Street.
Yeah.
You can shoot an arrow from, well, somebody can shoot an arrow at you from Brother Wesley's house, right?
Oh, yeah. It probably fall to a few trees before it hit me, but right. You know, the Lord controls them arrows.
Right.
If you read the Bible, you'll find out.
Oh, yeah. No suit of armor will protect you there, huh?
No, it's right through the armor, bro.
Yeah.
Oh, love you too, brother. Oh.
Is that in your way there?
Move down here out of the other way. Oh. Brother Doug, you got me kind of scared. And we ought to be scared.
Yeah. That's right, Doug.
When you vow and a vow to God,
yeah, right,
to your wife, your children, whoever, it's serious business.
Yeah, right.
Thank you, my dear brother.
Amen.
I was reminded of that. I'd read that before and it kind of bothered me, you know, about that man. But wow. Yeah. Oh. Thank you for the invitation. Unworthy as I am to be here, God has brought me here. And I pray that the Lord would help us to be a blessing to you, and more than that, to exalt my Savior. That is my ultimate desire, is to exalt Jesus Christ. Well, preachers, you know, I don't know about all y'all, but preachers are pretty dumb sometimes. They, you know, they make vows, you know, stupid stuff too, you know.
Right.
Man, and it's kind of scary when you think about it. Don't do that no more. Repent. Trust the Lord. That's what this is about today. Faith. Living by faith, walking by faith, singing by faith, preaching by faith. Brother, that's the hard part, is preaching by faith. You study and you prepare and you, well, Lord, I got this, and you know. No, you don't either. Don't never have that attitude. It don't work. Never has worked for me anyway. I've tried it before. It's foolish. Oh, me. Living by faith. Hebrews chapter 11. We'll read about three verses here and then make a few comments and turn you loose. You can rest a while and walk, stretch your legs or whatever. Hebrews 11:36. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourging, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, and in dens and caves of the earth. Think about that. What the world was not worthy. I can think of a lot. I've known a lot of preachers in my time. And I could name you a bunch of them and say, you know, the world wasn't worthy of them. They were just so humble and so precious. to the people of God, we wasn't worthy of them. The church wasn't even worthy of them, the way they treated him. That wouldn't mean a whole lot, really. But listen to me. God said, the world was not worthy of these others and all of those. I believe he's including from black to Abel. The world was not worthy. We have so little faith today. It's amazing how the Lord puts up with us.
Right.
How much do we trust him? I say, Lord, sometimes I don't look like I have any at all. So little. I said, did you give me any at all? He said, yeah, I gave you a measure. What you doing with it? What you doing with it? Are you doing anything with it? Are you using it? Is it working for you?
Right.
He said, it works by love. Do you love me? Yeah. And then I kind of think about it, you know, and I was thinking about this message, and I said, you know, are we ready? You know, we read about these men that were seemed like giants in the faith. Abraham. I mean, Abram, God said, you get out of here and go to a place where I'll tell you. What? Take your son, your only son, to a mountain. I'll show you an offering for a burnt offering. And I don't know if he even told his wife. He probably didn't. He just got things together. The next morning, saddled ass and loaded the firewood and the fire and said, come on, son. We're going to where God shows us. They traveled 3 days and three nights getting to that mountain. Are you ready for something like that? Are you ready to have faith like that? I think about, you know, Lord, I'd like to have that kind of faith. Are you ready for that? Are you ready? Do you really want to do that? Something like that? Well, it don't have to be like that, but, you know. Yeah. How about Moses? Yeah. You ready to have Moses' faith? Yeah. Wow. Moses, you go down there to Egypt. You tell Pharaoh, I said, let my people go.
Right.
Moses, you know, he's standing there maybe thinking, Lord, that guy wants my head. And you want me to go down there and talk to him face to face? I don't know that he even had that thought in his mind.
Right.
It don't seem like it did. He went. You know. I mean, most Baptist preachers say, Lord, I don't think I need to go down there yet. You know, they don't pay much. I'd have to get a job and go to work just to support my wife. And, well, why not?
Right.
I mean, that takes faith too, you know.
Right.
It won't hurt you. I did it a long time. And it, I guarantee you, it affected my ministry. I didn't have time to study like I should have had. Didn't have time to spend with my family like I should have. But I've been in the same place about 45 years, I think my brother said. Yeah. And it ain't no big work. Yeah. It's about like most. Yeah. How about Noah? You want some Noah faith? Huh? You think about that. Here is a man. God said, you build an ark. You build it this long and this wide and this high. Put a window in it. It's going to rain. It is. What's rain? Do you understand how many board feet of lumber it took to build that ark?
Right. Amen.
Have you ever figured it out? Huh? You mathematicians ought to figure that out sometime. I mean, just the hull and the framework. Huh? And it had, what, three levels? Yeah. And it had to have levels strong enough to hold an elephant somewhere. Huh? And a giraffe. You had to put him in the bottom because you didn't want his head sticking out.
Yeah.
There's a lot went into that building. You know? Now, I know there's a guy got one up yonder in Kentucky somewhere. He claims it's like the one that God told him Noah to build. I don't know whether it is or not.
Yeah.
Maybe you know. I don't. He didn't have no Lowe's lumber yard. No, he didn't. He didn't have no cross-cut saw. Well, he might have had a cross-cut. I don't know. But he didn't have no power saw. You know, we got DeWalt and we got Sears and all of them fancy Black and Deckers. We got power saws. We got battery-operated power saws.
Amen.
We got all kinds. And we got sawmills everywhere here in East Texas. Man, there's a sawmill on every corner, close to every Baptist church building, I guess.
Right.
He didn't have that. When God said, you build this ark, he meant for him to build it.
Right.
And I don't know if God said it's okay to hire somebody to help you. He had three boys. And, you know, once the boys get big enough to do something, they don't want to do nothing anymore. At least mine didn't. He wanted to run that automobile around, burn up daddy's gas, all that stuff. But anyway, Noah had a job to do. He trusted the Lord. By faith, he built that ark.
Amen. Amen.
Being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Wow. He prepared the ark saving of his house by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Righteous man. Another place I think it says he was a preacher of righteousness. Are you ready for that? How about Elijah's faith? You ready for that? That man was something else. He was a prophet of God. God said, you do this, and he'd do it. How about Rahab, you know? I figured this brother over here, he was going to preach on Rahab. But he didn't do it. Well, I don't know. But that's okay. I enjoyed what he preached.
Amen.
Well, I say I enjoyed it. It was good for me. Amen. Enjoyment that way. I wasn't rejoicing. But it was good. Yeah. Rahab. She hid them spies. But, you know, I think hiding the spies didn't give her faith. God gave her the faith to hide them before they got there. She knew who they were before they got there. Are you ready to fight Goliath? You had any Goliaths in your life? If you're a preacher, you've had some Goliaths to fight, to slay. Sometime or another, He may have been, not have been 9 foot tall. I've had some, one or two, to slay. It ain't easy. How about a lion's den? Brother Doug, you ever thought about being cast into a lion's den? What that'd be like? Just trust in the Lord.
Right.
Yeah. Old Daniel. Man, what a guy. Wouldn't you like to be like Daniel? Yeah. I'd like to trust the Lord like that. If he said, you're going to the zoo and they're going to throw you in the lion's den. If you don't shut up. Quit preaching this sovereign grace. I'd like to say, just get with it. Where's the nearest zoo? I don't know if I could. That's what I would like to do. Or that fiery trial that Peter writes about. You know, there's some fiery trials in every preacher's life. Don't tell me you ain't never been in a fiery trial. I mean, not like the three Hebrew boys, you know. Not in no furnace heated 7 times hotter than it would. I don't know how they gauged that, Brother Joe. You?
No idea.
I've wondered about that. How did they gauge that far to get it 7 times hotter than it usually was? I don't know. Did they have some kind of thermostat? They knew. Yeah. Look at verse 36. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yeah. Boy, that's a wicked thing. A depraved, wicked man devised that. You know what? How wicked was he in his mind? That be able to devise that scourging. It's bad enough to badmouth a guy, you know. Mock him. But to scourge him. You know, that was designed for the most wicked criminals, you know. They'd scourge him. They did Paul and Silas that way in Acts 16. Yeah. Whooped them bad. I don't remember how many times Paul said that they'd scourged him, that they'd beat him, whipped him, you know, same thing. But the worst of all was the Lord Jesus. I think they tied him to that pole. And he said, I gave my back to the smiters. Amen. My cheeks to them that plucked off the hat. Right. They ripped his back open with that whip unmercifully. God sent him for that. Scourging. A lot of Baptist preachers. Well, I say a lot. I don't know how many. Some Baptist preachers have had that happen to them. We have that in our history. There's a little book back there that's so valuable. And if you don't have a copy of it, you need one. The Trail of Blood.
Right.
Amen. Scourging. Obadiah Holmes got scourged. They ripped him up. He couldn't sleep. He was so ripped, his body was so ripped up, he had to sleep on his hands and knees. That's bad. Jesus didn't have to worry about sleep. They just took him and hung him on the cross. Wicked tree, you know, tree that he planted for that very purpose, Brother Joe. You ever think about that? Who planted that tree? Jesus did.
That's right. Amen.
Who made Calvary? Jesus did. He's the designer. The master builder. He designed it all for himself. No. Scourging, I tell you. That's hard to think about. And he said, you whip me with roses. Yeah, that's what he told him. That really riled him up, I guess. When they beat you like that, you whip me with roses. Yeah. Oh. Yay, moreover. On top of that, the bonds and imprisonment. Bonds. Bound. You know, they tie your hands behind your back, I guess. Above your head, every which way it was more torture to you. These things actually happen, folks. I'm not making this up.
That's right.
God said it happened to them.
Yeah,
God's people.
Yeah.
These weren't criminals. These weren't murderers, thieves, rapists. You know? It was different then than it is now. They turn them loose. We got crooked judges to turn them loose.
Right.
Huh? They hurt them back then. And when they put them in prison, yeah, it says they went to prison. Yeah, I believe it does. Yeah. Moreover, a bond and imprisonment. Yeah. Well, think about the Apostle Paul, how many times he was put in jail. The man that wrote this probably by divine inspiration. I've been writing this old testimony here. In prison. But more than that, my mind goes back to the 38th chapter of Jeremiah. When them wicked buzzards, they got a hold of that preacher and they tied him and they let him down into the dungeon. Think about that dungeon. I mean, it wasn't like Huntsville. I mean, that thing's like a hotel, almost. I've been in there, not as a prisoner, as a visitor, on a business trip one time, trying to sell some equipment to bend stainless steel fittings for the bathrooms. We didn't sell them, of course, but that's okay. I needed that visit to see how they lived in there. And it ain't cute, I'll tell you that, but it ain't like Jeremiah.
That's right.
I mean, they got stainless steel fixtures in every cell, you know, bathroom fixtures. You know. Jeremiah didn't have no bathroom fixtures.
Right.
And them folks that had been left down in there before him, that maybe had died in there. I don't know. I know there'd been some in there before because it said it was in the mire. Now, you may not understand what that mire is, but I want you to understand what this man went through. By faith in God. What kind of a trial? God tried his faith, brother. Others. That's who he's talking about, others. He's one of them others.
Yeah.
That mire was excrement, urine. They didn't have old fixtures in a dungeon in those days. I doubt they even knew what a fixture was. for a bathroom in any kind of building. That dungeon was terrible. And one of the eunuchs come by and told the king about it. Yeah. And the king said, you go get some rags and stuff and a rope and you get him out of there. Yeah. And they brought him out and put him in a cell outside there in the house. Yeah. They let down some rags and told him, said, you put them rags under your arm and tie that rope around you, under your arms, and we'll put you out of there. That's how he got out of there. I don't know how he got in there. I don't know if they let him down easy or if they just dropped him in there or how far it was. I don't know all those particulars. But he knew, brother, he knew how far it was.
That's right.
He knew how filthy it was. What a trial. Others. I don't know. I can't remember how many years old Bunyan spent in that jail over in England.
Yeah.
Writing stories. Writing that Bunyan, Pilgrim's Progress. Did I do that? Pilgrim's Progress. Yeah. We got a lot more good out of his jail sentence than we did Jeremiah's, I guess. But anyway, it was a trial. You know what? We need to be ready for that kind of trial. Preachers, you need to be ready. I mean, how our country's going to hell in a handbasket. And nobody cares. Too many preachers don't care. Slain with a sword, huh? They were stoned. How many times did they stone the Apostle Paul? That was a common way of just beating up on somebody. You didn't hurt your fist that way. You just get some big rocks and stone, like Stephen. They did it so hard to him, them big old rocks. What a blessing that was to him. Yeah. What a trial, but what a blessing. Yeah. You look up in heaven, you see Jesus. Wow! I can't imagine.
Amen.
How great that was.
Amen.
But dear brother, oh. Yeah. Others. Were stoned, they were sawn asunder. I understand from history that Isaiah may have been a victim of this saw. I don't know what kind of saw they used. Something like a cross cut, I guess. A man on each hand. And may have not had something that fancy. It was designed not so much to get you into as to torment you on the way. Mm-hmm. Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tempted. Tested. Everyone, all of these others, that word fits them. Tempted. That's why they were afflicted. That's why they were beaten. That's why they were put in jail. Because they were tempted. They were tempted to deny God. They were slain with a sword. How many of God's soldiers were slain with a sword? I have no idea. I know some were, because it says right here they were slain with a sword. And I, so when I say soldiers, that could include prophets. Prophets were soldiers for God. Preachers, soldiers for God. They were slain with a sword. And then them that were able to get away from that, get out of that, and stop that from happening to them. Somehow God saved them from that happening to them. They wandered about, just gypsies, kind of, wandering about. In sheepskins and goatskins. They couldn't go down to the tailor, have a suit made. No. If they did, somebody would turn them in. They'd get killed, you know. They were trying to serve God, these others. Goat skins. What would it be like to wander around in the country in a goatskin suit or a sheepskin suit? I've heard of shark skin suits, but I don't think that's what it's talking about here. You're not talking about fine suits like we wear. They were just barely covered to keep them decent, keep them running around naked. They wandered about. Wanderers. Helping each other where they could. Being destitute. You ever been destitute, brethren? Huh? You ever been really destitute? You didn't have nothing but a goat skin? Huh? Destitute. Afflicted. Tormented. Yeah. Bad enough having to wander around in a goat skin, but being afflicted, tormented. I hope we never go through that in America. We may not have to wander around in goat skin, but I'm telling you what, brethren, y'all better keep your eyes wide open.
That's right.
Because if God doesn't do a work somewhere, we're going down. Yeah. America, as we know it today, will no longer exist.
Right.
They think we ought to raise our hand and pledge our allegiance to the flag. I don't do that. I don't. Y'all might do that. I don't. I don't do it. I'm a veteran. United States Air Force veteran. Just wasted 3 years of my life, I figure, sinning against God. Wicked, about wicked as a man can get, for 3 years. Yeah. I don't pledge allegiance to that flag. I pledge allegiance to the Lord Jesus.
Amen. You know. Yeah.
And I don't owe no allegiance to nobody else than Him. And I'm not near as faithful to Him as I ought to be. That I vowed to be. Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Tormented, afflicted, tormented. Yeah. Of whom the world is not worthy. Let that phrase stick in your mind this afternoon. Put it in there somewhere and hide it before you can get to it and think about it. Men that God said Not that Brother Kelly said wasn't worthy. I know some of you brothers, I love you dearly. I can tell this brother here, the world ain't worthy of him. This brother here, the world ain't worthy of him. But when God says it, that means a whole lot more than when Brother Kelly said it. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. They had to stay alive. I mean, they could just give up and lay down and died somewhere. Somebody killed them. They wanted to serve God. They was trying to say, serve God alive. They said, well, we can't serve him if we're dead. As wonderful as that would be to go and be glory with Christ. Be with him. How wonderful that would. Do we have that kind of faith today? Does it exist in America today? Yeah. God said the world was not worthy. Somebody mentioned Peter getting out of that boat and starting out across to meet Jesus. Ooh, I'm sorry. And started sinking. And he cried out. Very similar to what they did when the disciples was in the boat and it was sinking because of the storm. They woke him up. Lord, you're not thinking about what we're going to perish. We're thinking to die. You don't care. Kind of ad-libbing there a little bit or a whole lot. But anyway, it's the same. They were scared to death and had God in the boat with them. And you remember what Jesus said to Peter? Oh, thou of little faith. Yeah. Oh, thou of little faith. He didn't tell him he didn't have any. He had some. He knew he had some. That old brother over in Luke 17. So they said, Lord, increase our faith.
Yeah.
Forgive your brother 70 times 7 or something like that. You know, that's a lot of forgiving going on. Amen. You ever forgive somebody that many times? Huh? No, you never have. You ain't never had nobody sin against you 70 times. 7. That's a lot of times. No wonder they said, increase our faith. And then in Acts chapter 6 there, where they was choosing an apostle, they were looking for what? A man full of faith. Full of faith. How do you find a man that's full of faith, Brother Joe? Does anybody know how to tell that a man is full of faith? They found one. I don't know how they deciphered that. I've wondered and wondered and wondered. Boy, they'd have passed me by to my shame. When you get to be over 80 years old, you ought to have faith move mountains. Seemed like to me. With all the trials, the testings that you've gone through. I could relate some to you, but I won't do it. Because I'm about out of time, I think. The horn's fixing to blow on me, and he don't even have it with him. Oh, man, I stand here scared to death. He's fixing to blow me plumb out of here. But, you know, I could tell you about some folks in America, like I would our homes we talked about up in New England, but down in Virginia. Yeah, in Virginia, in England, there was a sweet young girl, beautiful thing. She refused the mass. Yeah. She wouldn't take it. And the mayor of the city begged her, take it. No. They burned her at the stake. And you know what? She had a best friend named Joan. And they burned her at the stake too. Yeah. That was over in England. England. The mother country of the United States. Yeah. Yeah. They had an Iron Maid. You ever read about the Iron Maid? It was a casket made out of steel or iron. And it had spikes in it. And I don't think they were designed to penetrate so far that it would kill you. They just wanted to torment you while they burned you to death. They put you in there, close the lid, the spikes would gouge your body, you'd go bloody. And yeah. I've read where they put that thing in the fire and they just cook you. And I've read of men being burned at the stake and the fire went out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And I read about some preachers down in Virginia being tried by the court. Yeah. I mean, they brought to court. Baptist preachers, brethren. Baptist preachers. Yeah. What a story that is. I love it. Yeah. And I can't tell it like it ought to be told. But anyway, as a man rode up and got off his horse, he walked in the courtroom and the guy with the court was reading the charges against these three men. Preaching the gospel of the Son of God. And the court knew this man. The lawyers for the state, they knew this man. Some of the people didn't know who he was. But you've heard of him before, I'm sure. He said, give me liberty or give me death. Patrick Henry, a lawyer, rode 50, 60 miles on horseback just to defend these three preachers. And defend them he did. He took that paper from that court lawyer, waved it around in there. What? The charges against these men? For preaching the gospel of the Son of God? Good God, he says. Three times he did that. And the judge was so embarrassed he told the sheriff, release these men. How foolish they were. Because they wouldn't bring the babies to get them sprinkled. Yeah. Baptist preachers. Yeah. Keep your eyes open, brethren.
That's right.
God bless you. Take care of you. Get your home safe. Come back tomorrow. Don't go home yet. Sometimes God saves the best to last. We've got some good preachers speaking tomorrow. And I'm not bragging on me because I'm not a good preacher. I don't even know if I'm a preacher yet or not. You know, my wife said when we got married and God saved me, we'd been married about, I don't know, 7-8 years. God saved my wretched soul. And I knew then he wanted me to preach. I wanted to preach because he wanted me to. And I went and told her, you know, I said, you know, I'm thinking that God wants me to preach. She said, you can't preach. You ain't never been to school. You ain't been to a seminary. No. She'd been a Lutheran all her life. If you didn't go to seminary, you couldn't preach. She said, you can't preach. I won't be married to an old Baptist preacher. You start preaching, me and the babies are leaving. We're going somewhere. We're not hanging around here. Well, so I guess I ain't started preaching yet, because she's still here. Praise the Lord for that. I'm sure glad that he gave her grace to put up with this old man. And I thank God they gave you grace to put up with this old man this afternoon. If I've offended you, get over it. I'm not in the business to offend folks. I'm to tell you about the Lord Jesus.
That's right.
And if you have faith in him, you know, he'll call on you to use it. He will. Whether it's just preaching to the word, preaching to the people of God, that's a tremendous work that we take altogether too lightly most of the time. We need to be serious about preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Lord bless you, keep you. Read the prayer of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians, where he prayed for those dear brethren. That's my prayer for you today.
Amen.
God bless you. I love you, every one of you. Thank you for the hospitality, for the great food. Wow. Being treated like king's children. Brother Doug, well, that's what we are, ain't Brother Doug?
Amen.
King's children. God bless you.
Thank you, brother.
Amen. Those others, huh?
I have done that before.
He's right. Those others, you know, he's speaking in a historical sense. The writer is here in Hebrews, but there's a lot of modern history that supports these very things. And I'm going to let you in on a secret too. These people didn't suffer these afflictions because they believed sovereign grace quietly at home and lived like the world throughout their daily lives.
That's right.
And these people weren't just accosted or arrested at random either. These people were trusting God and doing what he says.
Right.
So we couldn't make the argument that, yeah, we've been given a great space of freedom in this United States for the past several decades. Or we could make the case that, as we said at the outset of this section of the conference, Revelation chapter 3, I would that thou wert hot or cold. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Maybe it's, yes, we've been given a space of freedom, but maybe we could all be encouraged to live by faith and not just believe things that are true, but live by faith. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Trust God and do what he says. And when he read in Hebrews about being sawn asunder, I saw a video years ago that I very much would like to have not seen. It was when, right after 9/11, when the Taliban and all this stuff was, it was on fire. It was hot. The world was just hot. And I watched a video of one of these people who had grabbed a United States citizen, and he had a bag on his head, and they were saying everything they were saying and their native language, and they cut this guy's head off. So in your mind, you think, oh, did they come in with a samurai sword and just clean cut? Well, they bent this guy over, took out this old pocket knife, looked like they had intentionally dulled it, and they held it down, and they worked his neck one side to the other, and you could hear him scream until it went through his trachea. Why do I bring that up? Well, because it was real. These people that they've been preaching to us, these people experienced real opportunity to live by faith.
Right.
You know, yes, we believe these things. I believe these things. But how well do we believe them? These things may become our reality. These people just didn't talk about it. These people lived it.
Amen.
So they risked it all too, didn't they? Especially those others that Brother Kelly just mentioned. They risked it all living by faith. Not just because they believed something, but because they lived it. And they lived it. Oh, they lived it. This report through faith. They were looking forward. They hadn't received the promise. Jesus Christ hadn't come yet. He has come. I encourage you, to child of God, to trust Him and do what He says. I believe He's coming back. He can come back any moment. We might not get out of this building through that door. Wouldn't that be something? Just be raptured right out of here. But you could be one of the others.
Yep.
You could be a modern day other.
Yep.
I used to work with this lady. Her grandkid came home from school, and she was in a blended family. And the girl came home crying, and the woman said, "What's wrong?" And she said, "Well, we had to check which box we were, white or black or whatever, and I had to check other." You know, all upset because she was an other. Well, these others, as Brother Kelly said, the world was not worthy of these people. Not that they had any superpowers, but God had granted them faith. God had granted them desire to serve God even unto death. Yes, it is a gift, and sometimes we don't appreciate gifts. You can give a kid a birthday gift, and they'll open it, and they'll love that thing. Oh, they'll love it, and the next day you'll find it in the floor, and in a month you'll find it broken and in the trash. What do we do with this gift? What do we do with this gift of faith? I encourage you to trust God and do what He says. Brother White, please come lead us in song at this time.